It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Migrant seasonal farm workers across Wisconsin have additional health and safety protections with revised rules administered through the State Department of Workforce Development. We examine changes to the Migrant and Seasonal Farm Workers Program, and you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Erica Schweitzer-Beckman is a farm worker project attorney for Legal Action of Wisconsin and part of the Governor's Council on Migrant Labor. Erica, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much, Kate, and good morning.
Good morning. So these new rules, they aim to protect migrant farm workers from unhealthy conditions, including protections from excessive heat and communicable illness. What is the new standard for working conditions at Wisconsin farms?
Sure. Well, I think it's helpful to, I guess, back up for a moment and also realize that though the rules from the Department of Workforce Development are new, the laws in terms of aim to improve the status of migrant and seasonal farm workers in Wisconsin have actually been on the books since 1977 and 1978. And they didn't arise in isolation. A lot of these laws were a result of organizing of migrant and seasonal farm workers, including in 1967, a march from Wautoma to Madison. So it's, following on the steps of a lot of great great leaders and great workers that we enter this work and enter the effort. But yes, the new rules from the Department of Workforce Development do provide some clarity and some additional specify some additional standards in terms of both the conditions of migrant labor camps, as well as you mentioned, some health and safety standards within the field. So one thing that is very important for Legal Action of Wisconsin clients is the increased, though not perfect, increased access to washer and dryer facilities. The previous standard actually didn't have a requirement for dryer facilities, meaning that if there was a migrant labor camp where people were living, there was no guaranteed access to a dryer. And the ratio of washers to camp occupants was 1 to 30.
And now it's 1 to 20, and it's
correct.
Washers and dryers in that
correct.
Ratio. Okay.
Correct. So again, it's important to with new standards, it's important to say what there is and what there's not. Probably for anyone who does laundry, particularly laundry for a household, you can imagine with the 1 to 20 standard, it is cumbersome, particularly if you're talking about if you and I work together on a shift and we're working together 12-hour shifts, we're going to be wanting to do laundry about the same time. And so there's still going to be some issues with laundry access. That said, it is an improvement from prior.
I wonder,
the prior situation.
How will migrant farm workers learn about these expanded and revised protections?
Sure. So, and that's an excellent point. Certainly with any standard or with any law, if it's not enforced, then it becomes meaningless. It's just paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that is important is that in the state of Wisconsin, and this was true previously, migrant camps do need to be licensed by the state. So in terms of doing pre-occupancy inspections, there'll be an inspector from the DWD that's reviewing and making sure that the standards for washers and dryers are met.
So that happens when the licensing happens. But in terms of like enforcement and ensuring that these protections stay in place, what does that entail?
So there's the licensing, and that's at the beginning of
mm-hmm.
each season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
okay.
One prong of it. But then you're right, there is the need, for example, giving the example with washers and dryers, if there's something where there's a standard met at the beginning of the season, but through the end of the season, there's a washer and dryer broken, for example, it is often you know, it'd be workers that would be reporting that,
okay,
you know, to the state agency. And you are correct that oftentimes the law didn't, or the increased standards rather, did not come with additional resources for enforcement. So there are currently just two migrant labor inspectors devoted to enforcing these standards. And so that is certainly a shortcoming in terms of making any improvements in the law a reality. I would say Legal Action of Wisconsin, as well as some other community organizations, are committed to doing outreach to camps as well, and making sure that people know that they have, you know, rights to ask about camp conditions, to file a complaint. So that's certainly an important part of our work as well.
And Erica, you serve on the Governor's Council of Migrant Labor. What role did the council have in establishing these new protections?
Sure. So and the law requires the Department of Workforce Development to collaborate with the Governor's Council on Migrant Labor to allow the Governor's Council on Migrant Labor the opportunity to review a proposed rule. Mm-hmm. And so the Governor's Council on Migrant Labor is it's comprised of both worker representatives as well as employer representatives. And so there were discussions in terms of some of the proposed rule. In my role, I discuss how changes would or would not impact our clients and provide that information.
We're talking about legal protections for migrant workers and for migrant camps. Erica Schweitzer-Beckman, Farm Worker Project attorney with Legal Action of Wisconsin, is with us. You can join in with questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Erica, the State Department of Workforce Development is calling these added protections the first significant updates to state migrant labor rules since 2007. What were the rules like regarding these protections from HEAT prior to this update?
So prior to the update, there were some requirements in terms of water in the fields, which is an important part of preventing HEAT injury and illness. The newer provisions in terms of the HEAT exhaustion plan that was not in existence or specified previously. The HEAT exhaustion requirements are another very important and probably one of the most important parts of the new provision. Many years ago in my career, and I'm going to clarify, this did not happen in Wisconsin, but I spoke with a group of my clients had just been working in Georgia, and they were there and witnessed the death of one of their coworkers in the field. It was a young person. In hearing about it, it was just so obvious that it could have been preventable, that it was preventable, right? That it could have been stopped with some of these, really basic precautions. So, in reading about these standards, it is good to have that specified in Wisconsin, and that is naming those standards is an important part of the improvement in standards for Legal Action of Wisconsin's clients.
And what I notice is specificity here, that, you know, one quart per worker per hour for drinking shall be available. And, you know, and that is a revision from, instead of water shall be available in a sufficient amount. What do you make, what do you think of an exact measurement in the rule?
It provides a standard, and it provides clarity. Mm-hmm. Sufficient, I suppose. I think that's something that where an exact measurement does. It's also in line with current rules that are proposed by OSHA. So having some uniformity makes it easier for employers to comply. And that can be important, right, in terms of making sure if there's a rule that it's clear and it makes that everyone's following it and that we're preventing these things from happening. I think something else that that is important that's not in the standard that I think does go a long way in terms of, and really what we've seen can go a long way in terms of protecting worker rights, is making sure right now in hand harvest, piece rate is still the norm in terms of how people are paid. And so we thinking about ways in which that system disincentivizes, you know, taking a break when needed. So I think there is certainly is still more work to be done in preventing heat exhaustion. And also, I think another thing to keep in mind is many crews, it might be, you know, their first, second week on the job. And it might be, you know, in some situations, it might be someone's first, second week in the country and in Wisconsin. So making sure that people feel safe and protected, and raising concerns about health and safety is really probably the most important thing that we can do. And, you know, in terms of protecting workers.
Erica Schweitzer-Beckman is a farm worker project attorney for Legal Action of Wisconsin, sits on a committee advising Governor Tony Evers on issues affecting migrant seasonal farm workers. Call in with a question. You can add your perspective, 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show and the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin employers operate hundreds of migrant labor camps across the state, according to the Department of Workforce Development. We discuss new health and safety protections in the migrant and seasonal farm worker program. Call in with a question. You can add your point of view, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Erica Schweitzer-Beckman is a farm worker project attorney for Legal Action of Wisconsin and on the Governor's Council on Migrant Labor. Let's go to Sean in Oshkosh. Sean, hi.
Yes, hello, and good morning, everybody. Thank you for the topic. I would request that the expert address the very simple, well-documented statistics of the fact that both quote-unquote illegal, undocumented people within the confines of this country, as well as documented migrant labor, and the vast economic benefit to our country's GDP that they contribute through taxes, through the generation of product and revenue, and allowing businesses to produce their products at effectable costs, which is consumed by the population, and so on. Most people are unaware, and the whole notion of they're coming to take our jobs is a complete farcity. And it's been about a year since I heard an update as to the number, but I know that the substantial economic benefit that these types of people contribute towards this economy and ultimately its stability is well documented and substantial.
Sean, thank you for the call. Erica, what insights do you have there?
I think I would say that, you know, with Wisconsin's migrant labor law, it is, you know, it does apply to it. The protections apply to individuals, you know, working regardless of status. I would also say many, you know, in terms of my experience, many of my clients are authorized or documented, and, you know, either through the H-2A, which is an employer-sponsored visa program, or many families in Wisconsin has a long history of contributions of migrant workers who reside in South Texas and then come to Wisconsin. That's a big part of Wisconsin's migrant labor workforce. That said, I do not have up-to-date figures in terms of you know, in exact numbers mm-hmm. in terms of contributions of individuals working without authorization to the economy. It certainly is correct. You see some reports in the in the dairy industry that yes, that workers without current work authorization do contribute to the economy and have and are responsible for a lot of Wisconsin's robust economy. But I do not have up to date or figures on that. I'm not.
That's okay.
Let me be an expert on that.
Yeah. Let me ask you this though. The state workforce development department says last year there were more than 260 migrant labor camps across Wisconsin. Are these camps becoming more prolific? Do you notice any trends about this type of housing and conditions?
There are newer migrant labor camps since I've been practicing about 10 years, so that there would be an increase in camps. And there's also an increase in the, again, it's called the H-2A visa program. So these are employer-sponsored visas.
Okay. And how do Wisconsin's rules for migrant labor camps compare to those of our surrounding states?
Certainly. There is a federal standard mm-hmm. called the Agricultural Worker Protection Act that speaks to some of the recruitment of farm workers and things like that. And that is a lot of what Wisconsin's, both the standards and Wisconsin's migrant law speaks to. And the idea is that if you're coming to work in Wisconsin, you get information about what the conditions are going to be like before you go. And that that's a federal standard. And then additionally, you do have some, federal regulation and OSHA standards for camps. So it does vary. I think Wisconsin's migrant labor law does provide some specificity that, for example, wouldn't be present in all other states. So that's important to note. I think something else that's important is that our insurance requirements for vehicles, and that's an important health and safety standard too. So many migrant farm workers are relying on employers or what they call migrant labor contractors for transportation. And so a lot of, if you think of a passenger van and a vehicle accident, and that's an accident that's one, many people, and also people who are responsible for the life and livelihood of their family. Mm-hmm. And under most Wisconsin's workers' comp law and most states' workers' comp law, if that van is driving, from one field to another during the workday, a workers' compensation is going to cover that accident. But there are a lot of reasons why, or a lot of other circumstances where a farm labor contractor might be, driving the crew of workers around. For example, coming to work at the beginning and end of the season, going from employment in one state to employment in another state, making a Saturday run to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin law contains some vehicle insurance requirement, and those vehicle insurance requirements remain with the new standard, and that ensures that, obviously hope there would never be an accident, but if there is, that there is a standard of protection for the individuals in that vehicle, and that it's covered even if it wasn't necessarily something that'd be covered by workers' compensation benefits. So that's a lot of other states have seen tragedy in terms of death. The death of farm workers in this car accident, mm-hmm. But two, having no coverage options for those families. And that's something that the vehicle safety standards in Wisconsin would prevent the lack of coverage.
Thank you for that clarification. Erica Schweitzer-Beckman with us, farm worker project attorney with Legal Action Wisconsin. You can join in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Erica, how do your clients describe the relationship, the dynamic between employers and seasonal migrant farm workers?
Oh, It varies.
Okay.
I think historically, Wisconsin, partially because of the weather, our summers are hot, but can be a little minor. Wisconsin has had a good reputation among migrant farm workers generally in terms of a state of the states. If you're considering competing employment offers from Texas, for example, Wisconsin has had a relatively good reputation as a good place to work overall. So I think it really it does vary, but in terms of other states, at least historically, Wisconsin has had a good reputation. But I would also say that's something that's not to be taken for
For
granted in
granted.
terms of making sure that that we continue to have standards for workers, and we continue and those that those standards are a reality, that reputation is something that can change and can be lost too.
I keep thinking about the two people doing rule enforcement at for conditions at migrant labor camps, and I'm just wondering, can legal action of Wisconsin take on all the cases and complaints that come before your organization?
I think that that's an excellent point. So just to clarify, there's two state employees that have the inspector responsibilities, but I think there is also a shortage of civil legal aid for farm workers who might want advice or representation in thinking about bringing a legal claim. So we are the only legal aid project that's devoted to representation of farm workers, and right now, our project is two full-time attorneys, a half-time attorney, a project manager, and a paralegal. So it certainly is not enough to, though we're proud of the work that we do, certainly not enough in terms of meeting the needs in the way that we would like to.
Erica, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Erica Schweitzer-Beckman is a farm worker project attorney for Legal Action of Wisconsin, part of the Governor's Council on Migrant Labor as well. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.